This morning's message, Nebuchadnezzar glorifies God. Nebuchadnezzar glorifies God. On my way over here this morning, I seen the Jehovah's Witnesses out working, witnesses in the community over there. And they are people that work. They are people that they're accomplishing, are trying to glorify God in His Word and in His way. And I wonder, are we doing that? How many of us here today tell our neighbors or tell people about God, that our neighbors or the people can see God working in our lives? Can the pagans see God working in our lives? You know, it's not what you, leave those open, please. It's not what you think of yourself. It's not what, it's what God thinks of you. Is God desperately seeking you to restore you, to strengthen you, to bring you to, if you call, you can close it, to glorify? Are you fulfilling your purpose in life? Are you just trying to get out of here? Are you just trying to live and then that day you close your eyes, you're out of here? Or are you trying to fulfill God's purposes in your life? We read of a king this morning, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of kings. And he had an agenda in his life to accomplish things, but it was all about him. And that's what I noticed about the world. It's all about them. The people come into church, it's a lot of time, it's all about them. The people out everywhere, it's all about them. And until you allow God to open your eyes, until you start walking with God and see it's not about you, that you are insignificant. You are very insignificant. As nothing, as a bump, as a drop from a bucket is your life. It's just a vapor. And see, that's the problem. A lot of us think it's all about us. What we get, what our children get, everything in life. And it's not about that. It's about glorifying God. That's what life should be about. Us glorifying God. How many of us are trying to be fruitful and bring people to God and tell people about God? Here's a pagan king, and if you've been studying the book of Daniel, as you should be studying your Bible all the time. But most people are not. They put in more time doing other things instead of doing what he say do, study his word to show themselves approved workmen that need not be ashamed. That's the problem. That's the problem. That's why your life is not going anywhere. That's why you can't see God restoring your life. We go read a chapter that I've consistently told y'all about, the fourth chapter of Daniel. Here's a pagan king wrote a chapter in the book. This is a servant of God. So many people argue whether Nebuchadnezzar was saved or not. And I'm in agreement with the majority of the preachers that I hear preach on, that we will see if you make it. It's not according to whether he make it, but will you make it to heaven? We will probably see Nebuchadnezzar there. It's a type and shadow of Jesus Christ, King of Kings. But most of the church has Nebuchadnezzar wrong because they hadn't been converted. They're messed up. A pagan king, and listen to what he says. This is his testimony. That's why I open up with a testimony this morning. Do we have a testimony? What is your testimony? See, a lot of people don't have a testimony. They don't even know what is a testimony. Jesus Christ says the testimony of Jesus Christ. If you look in Revelation, it's all about what is your testimony about God. Now see, if God has done anything in your life, if he's doing anything in your life, you should have a testimony. If you meet people and you can't tell them of your testimony in Jesus Christ, you're failing at some point, because he says we must be able to tell of the hope of the glory that lies within us. We see God had consistently, just like with Abraham, and to show you this, he's just the same and treats all of us the same. His struggle with Nebuchadnezzar, this probably was over a 25, 30, or 40 year period that he struggled bringing Nebuchadnezzar to the point where he brought Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, he had dreams and visions, and we know of all the things. And I can't just go back and fill in, because you should be studying the Word of God. You should be walking in the Word of God. That this doesn't bother you is that you should be, all these things you should be meditating in, because to know what God's doing in my life, I have to look and see how he worked in olden times, in the Old Testament. But we throw that away. Well, what I want to get to this morning is of God humbling Nebuchadnezzar, of God's restoration of Nebuchadnezzar. See, because we've been studying restoration out of the book of Zephaniah. That's been our key book that we've been studying it for the last 5 or 6 months or whatever. And that he promises restoration. But see, I don't want to be of those that the restoration that we don't see it until the next life if it comes for us at that time. We want to see God beginning to work in our lives now. Like the blind person that sees, that God gives them their sight back. That the lame that get up and walk. Can you remember the times of the things that you've done in your youth? Some of the times that you really had that God said he's able to restore the years that the canker worm has eaten. That you'll be able to run, that you'll be able to move, that you'll be able to serve God, that your strength and health. He said, that's why he came to die, to put us back in right standing with him. He had made man upright. And unless others can see the image of God in us, unless we can start to see in Christ being formed in us, we're missing the mark. We're missing the mark of our call. Nebuchadnezzar didn't even see the mark of God. And throughout the Bible, I think his name is mentioned some 65 times or whatever. But I can see God working in his life. It says Nebuchadnezzar, the king unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth. He says, and peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good for to show the signs and wonders that the high God had wrought toward me. He wanted to tell all of the world, all peoples, of what God had did in his life. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And his dominion is from generation to generation. That's a testimony. And if you keep on reading, he says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house, flourishing in my palace. His life was going on like a lot of our lives are going on. But he didn't notice God working in his life because he was so busy. He was like Martha. He was encumbered by trying to achieve things himself in this life. I told you the other day, I was working and trying to get things going for myself. Well, all the time, God was working to alleviate that burden. I was looking and hoping in God. And my neighbor and I laughed last night and said, you know, was talking about God and how God works and seeing God. Are you actually seeing God? So Nebuchadnezzar was telling us what God had did in his life. And what had happened was, he had a dream, and they consistently tell this dream over and over that he had. He said, I had a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream. Now here, Nebuchadnezzar, a king, a Gentile king, calls in Daniel, and notice that he calls in Daniel last to ask what the interpretation of this dream is. Nebuchadnezzar, and like I said, he was a Gentile king, but it's just like a lot of people in the church. They go ask everybody else. They do everything else before they try God. They'll go see the doctor. They'll ask relations. They'll ask relatives, they'll ask different people, they'll consort everything else before God. They'll go get counsel from talk show hosts, and all we have a variety of people on talk shows that people follow them religiously. Whatever they say, they make book on that. But then when their lives don't change or whatever, Then they flipped back and tried God. This wasn't the first time Nebuchadnezzar known of Daniel. Remember all of the escapades him and Daniel had had before. This is the king that threw the Hebrew boys in the fire and knew that one of them looked like the Son of God. This is the king that made a golden statue. Daniel had interpreted that dream to him. I don't know if it was on the heels of this dream or not, because like I said, it was over about a 30-year period that God had consistently asked, like with a lot of us, been working curses and blessings in your lives. There's been ups and downs in your life, and sometimes you could see God and sometimes you couldn't. But have you ever meditated upon it that you keep pushing God away by resisting God, by not completely following him, by giving up hope in him and turning hope toward the world and hope toward other things, but by not doing his word, not walking in his precepts, not walking in statutes and judgments and decrees. I always quote or talk about the scripture in Isaiah where it says, to them the word of God had became line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. To us, the Bible, it seems like redundancy. It says the same old thing over and over, and it gets confusing and monotonous to us because it's just there, and you're confused because there's no enlightenment to it. There's so much chaos to it. There's no chronological order to it. There's no understanding. There's no rhyme or reason to it. But it's not the Bible where the problem lies. The problem lies with us. The problem lied with Nebuchadnezzar is that he kept, every time God would raise him up or raise up something in his life to whereby he would go out and glorify God, he was so hung up on himself, as we are, is that when somebody brag on us or something's good for us, we stick out our chest and we think we're somebody then. We don't see our insignificance, because when a man thinking he's something, that's when he should take heed lest he falls. That's when your life starts to get crippled, because you think you're holier than someone else. You think you're more than someone else. And now you stop listening at God. You start back listening at self. You start back walking according to your old ways again. That's what Nebuchadnezzar kept doing. Here, he's not going to follow the advice of Daniel. He called for the preacher, but he's not going to listen at the preacher. This coming Sunday, there will be a lot of people in the church next week calling and looking for the preacher. Their lives aren't going to get any better because it's all about them. They want to hear what God say, but they're not going to do it. And see, God's people will have to start getting strong. His true preachers, his true servants, the ones that are walking in his light, the ones that are serving God, his true church, they're growing stronger because they see God in their lives and they don't have these lows and these ups and downs. And that's why a lot of them are depressed today. A lot of us are depressed. We don't have no joy and no happiness. I wouldn't want to serve their gods either. It's a lot of church people come in, and if they come in here, how many of us, just the people come in, and you looking sour and bitter anyhow, that you don't have any joy, that you don't invite the people in, and they seem like that person so worried, so stressed out, like you're carrying the world around on your shoulders. You're not carefree. You don't have joy. You don't have peace. They could see it in your eyes that you are really worried and stressed out. Nebuchadnezzar was worried and stressed out. He said he was troubled by what he seen in his dream, because it wasn't about what was God trying to say. It was because he had problems that he called for the preacher. The preacher told him about what did he need. Daniel was one that, unlike most preachers today, he didn't tell you what you wanted to hear. He told you what God had said. He told you what you need to know. Daniel came in, and Daniel was a very honest man. I'm going to tell you about that as the preacher said that to him. But I tell you, he wasn't one that would take heed to the word of God. Like I said, he was like most of us in the church today. God has to break you. Yes. And it's a lot of people, like I said, with that more. I think about Mr. Luther. He was saying that he was going to donate his mower to the church, you know, and that, you know, before he would leave there, he would denote. But see, that's procrastination. If he was going to do it, he should have went on and did it when he was going to do it. It's over there now. I hadn't said anything to them about it or whatever. But because of his procrastination, the good idea that he said or was going to do never did come about. So God provided someone else to do. If you're thinking about one of these days I'm winning the lottery and I'm do this for the church, and one of these days I'm get right and I'm do this for my wife, one of these days I'm do that, well, and one of these days you won't be here either. If you depending on what man think he are promising you, you putting your bet on a mighty poor horse. We got to put our bets on God. And see, the problem was Nebuchadnezzar, when Daniel came in and told him this, he sent for the preacher and he came in. And Daniel, in all honesty, listen at this, the 19th verse of that fourth chapter. He said, then Daniel, whose Babylonian name was Belteshazzar. Huh? He's calling him Daniel now. So God had been working with Nebuchadnezzar. We can see that because now he's referring to him by his true name, what God had given him. See, he had given him the name Belteshazzar. You remember the Hebrew boys that he changed their name. See, people that's calling you Holy Roly or whatever, now when they're in trouble or there's a problem, then they want to call you by your God-given name. They want to call you Reb, then they want to say, pray for me or do these things for me. See, because now they're in fear. They're in fear. And I think it was a true conversion with Nebuchadnezzar, but there was only so far he can go with that conversion as king, because if he'd have went too far, they'd have strung him up. The workings was within his administration, and I can't go down a secular line to tell this to you this morning. That's why sometimes the saints of God get together, sometimes when I'm working or talking with people, instead of talking sports or other things, I talk about biblical things that's in a secular area that is not appropriate in the pulpit. But see, Nebuchadnezzar's administration was crooked. The reason God, one of the reasons that God allowed this hiatus that he went on, that he needed to straighten out that administration. See, sometimes God has to straighten other factors out in our lives. The reason he allows confrontations between you and certain people and certain things or whatever. I was talking with my brother the other night, and he was saying some things. But I said, you know, you never can go home again. You know, you can't come back to Baton Rouge and think you know people or know things or whatever, because they've changed. Just as you've changed, they've changed. And so here, that he was changed. But it's like with the North Korean Kim Jong-un, the reason some of the things he's doing is doing because if he get too soft, they'll put the rollers under him. You know, if the preacher get too light, the church will take over. If in your home you allow your children to do just anything or carry on, before long they'll be running the house. You know, a husband, if he allow his wife to make too many things, for long he won't be the decision maker. You know, and that's the same with us. If we don't stand up and oust Satan, sooner or later Satan will oust us and we'll be under his bondage. So it wasn't much, but this is, he looked at his Daniel in this way. So that's what a lot of people argue, is why he couldn't change all of Babylon. But see, a lot of people like to attribute, think what other people's motives are, say they know what other people are thinking, and we don't. We can't know what other people are thinking unless God revealed that to us. But notice how the king knew Daniel and felt what he was thinking in the trouble as a preacher, as an honest man that Daniel had in telling him what he was about to tell him. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was appalled and speechless for a while because he was deeply concerned about the destiny of the king. He was concerned as to what was going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar. That's what I was telling my neighbor. I'm concerned about my neighbors in life. I'm concerned about what happens to them, about their well-being. I'm concerned about my children. Unless we start getting concerned about everybody around us and forgets us and start having empathy for others, we have a problem. And Daniel was one that would empathize with them all. He wasn't belittling the king. He wasn't one that was gossiping behind his back. He was one that apparently the king knew that Daniel was an honest man, and he wasn't involved in the petty antics that was going on around the palace. You know, you shouldn't get involved in things that's going on in the church, things that are going on at home with people saying this and people saying that. Yesterday, I was talking to a man that I was working with, and he came out and he asked certain things, and he said, "Well, you want me to tell my neighbor that you're back?" I said, "Well, no." He said, "Okay, I understand," because he understood that I didn't want to speak ill of that guy, but it wasn't for me and him to say of what that man's shortcomings was. It's a lot of people. I say you have to find out for yourself. I was talking, like I told you, I was talking to my brother with a lot of people that he was mentioning. How's this person? How's that? Well, that's something you're going to have to find out for yourself, but it may not be for you to find out, but it's wrong. I would be evil to speak evil of those people or whatever, especially if he doesn't know how to control himself or his mouth. Because as Christians, as members of God, we say different things about people, but then we get all explosive and upset when we hear somebody and says something about us. And I've showed Sister Harris that in the book of Proverbs, we get so mad about that and don't realize, don't you talk about other people also? Don't you say this about somebody? Well, you need to consider how humanity is. But you need to be strengthened and consoled in the Lord to bring yourself to stop doing that. Stop tailbearing. Stop gossiping about people. You need to get yourself straightened out. And here Nebuchadnezzar needed to get himself straightened out. And Daniel was worried about him. And he said, the thoughts alarmed him. And the king said, Belteshazzar, do not. And see, I think the reason he keeps saying Belteshazzar and Daniel is he wants the whole audience. Because remember, I tell you, this was written to not only his kingdom. It was written to all nations. See, this king knew that this would be seen in the eons to come, that this is scripture. So people that didn't know Daniel by the name of Daniel, but they knew him by the name of Belteshazzar. He was high in the administration of God. See, a lot of people don't know me by Emerson. A lot of people may know me by Rev, but a lot of people may know me by Rev, different names. There's a lot of people that know you by different names. And if you use that name, they'll know who you're talking about. See, some people don't know me by some other names, and that's why it kind of bothers me when people call me by names that I'm not known to you by that name. How you call me by that name? You don't know me like that. There's certain pet names you might call your wife or your husband. You might call your children or something, but they ain't going to let nobody else call them that name because you don't know them by that name. Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name the other day. Jesus knows our name because he knows us intimately. When you call somebody a name, that shows familiarity. That so also exercises control or whatever over that individual. The king says, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation frighten you. Belteshazzar answered, my lord, may the dream be meant for those who hate you and its message for your enemies. Now notice this now. You got some hard stuff coming, and you know, a lot of people don't like for you to tell them the hard stuff. Now what's about to happen to you, king? You about to lose your mind. I hope this was happening to some of your enemies. You about to be judged by God. I hate to give you this bad news. I was wishing I could tell this to your enemies or somebody else. But I hate, you know, you hate to see your children go through some of the things that they have to go through. I was talking with my niece the other day about my sister, and my brother told me something about my other brother. You know, you hate to see people go through things, but hey, that's the road you're going to have to plow. Sometimes you come to the end of that road. Sometimes it's about over. The curtain's about to come down. and that curtain's going to come down in a lot of our lives one of these days. One of these days, people will be saying the same thing about us, that he done lost his mind, that it's all but over with for him. But it wasn't the case for Nebuchadnezzar. He was going to lose his mind here. But that was going to be a period of restoration. Notice now that as Daniel said this to him, he said, it is always better if we would humble ourselves. And Daniel apparently wasn't arrogant or whatever, because he knew that the king could have his head if he told him the wrong thing. You know, you have to watch how you tell some people something, because you don't know how they're going to take that. And people get mad at you a lot of times just because you tell them the truth of how life is. And I told my brother the other day from Georgia, I said, well, I was going to say something to them, but I took it back, because I said, I'm not going to tell them because they can't understand that. You know, it's a lot of things people that are not in the church can't understand. It is going to be what it is. Life's going to be what it is. It ain't no use in me painting this rosy picture and lying and him hawing around. They will fall. The dice will fall the way they fall. The lights will fall the way. That's the chances and things in life. And that's the role we hold. That's the way things will turn in. Every man's going to get rewarded for the deeds done in his body. There are consequences in life. There are things that happen in life, and they not just happen capriciously. Nebuchadnezzar realized this. I read the opening, and he says, God is in charge, and he's sovereign. He's in control of everything that we're doing and going about. So there was going to be a basement here. There was going to be a basement that God was going to come into his life and bring him down, because he wouldn't bring himself down. And that's what I say. A lot of people in the churches, a lot of people don't humble themselves before God. And God has to humble them. And tell me, I'm telling you, you don't want God to humble you. I always say, Lord, help me to humble myself. I don't want you to humble me. I have to watch people's prayers that say they're going to pray for me or whatever, because they're praying the wrong way. You go there praying for patience, you're talking about some problems. You pray talking about patience, problem will come after you, problem after problem from all over the place. And they will come quickly too, because the book of Romans tells us that we don't even know what to pray for. We don't know how to pray. It's the Spirit that prayeth for us. It make an intercession for us. We don't know what to ask for. You get down there and ask for money to win this, and some people tell you, how many people tell you, the worst thing I could have won was that lottery. That changed my life so bad. That's the worst. I prayed for a wife. I prayed for this. And when you, be careful what you're asking for, because you don't even know what you need. You have to consign it all. In prayer and supplications, let your requests be known unto the Lord. If it be thy will, God. Look, ask God for these things. Listen at this, verse 13 through 16. He said, and behold, I saw in visions of my mind as I lay on my bed, an angelic watcher, a holy one, descended from heaven. He shouted aloud and said, cut down this tree and cut off its branches, shake off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the living creatures run from under it and the birds fly from under its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump with the roots in the ground, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the new grass of the field. And let him be wet with the dew of heaven. Let him feed with the animals as grass of the earth. Let his mind be and nature be changed from a man's. And let an animal's mind and nature be given to him. And let 7 periods pass over him. God was going to humble him. He was going to take his kingdom from him. He was the King of Kings. He had conquered all the known kingdoms of the world at that time. All those governments was going to come from under the fruits of his tree, under the branches of his tree. All of that was going to be turned out. He was going to lose his mind. And see, a lot of times that's what's the problem. We're not in our right mind. We look in the book of Romans where God turns us over to a reprobate mind. Till we work that which uncomely and unseemly. See, that's why you can tell there's judgment upon this nation, because you have homosexuality, you have lesbianism, you have all kinds of things going on, and this shows a nation that's under the judgment of God. God is abasing this nation and he has to break it. And see, that's where the bondage of the will comes in, because the nation has taught you to be patriotic. It has not taught you to be a disciple of God. So a lot of people get mad at the preachers and get mad when they tell you what Jesus says, that this nation has to fall. They throw Jeremiah in the cistern. They kill Isaiah. They kill all the prophets that came in and told them that Judah was going to fall, that Israel was going to fall. Because people don't want to hear it when you say, look, the church will fall. See, Jesus Christ said he was going to come in and fight against the church. Because as we studied Wednesday night, that God brings this destruction and he's only looking for the remnant. He's going to save a remnant. In other words, a small portion. And when the curses and the blessings come down, you're going to remember at that time that he had scattered you for a purpose. And that he's working this, because everybody that's in the church ain't right. Everybody that's in your home ain't right. Everybody in this nation is not right. And that God has to weed them out. Now, God humbles nations, and we are a proud, arrogant nation. And I know that it has to be humbled, because if we're not looking at it and not seeing that this is us, we have a problem. Examples of nations that he humbled, that he didn't give a chance like he did Nebuchadnezzar. Remember Pharaoh? He humbled Egypt and destroyed Pharaoh in the sea. Pharaoh wasn't resurrected as Nebuchadnezzar was. Son of Cherub, who came against Isaiah, who came against the kings of Judah. Isaiah was the prophet at that time, and Hezekiah was the king, and Son of Cherub came in and spoke blasphemous things against God. God humbled him to where his own sons killed him in the house of worship. God will humble you if you don't humble yourself. Haman rose up against the Jews. That's why I say, be careful of those that rise up against the church and the apple of God's eye, that those that rise up against God's people, like Haman was in the book of Esther. Haman rose up to try to do the Jews harm. And God allowed that same thing Haman wanted to bring on the Jews. It came upon Haman himself. Watch out for laying stumbling blocks and laying traps for other people, because that same ditch you dig for somebody, they will dig that, you dig in that ditch for yourself. That same person that you gossiping about is that same person you will have to come back for to and ask for a favor. That same person that you and your whoever it is gossiping and was in tail bearing and all these things, it's coming back again. Be careful for what the things that you are sowing, because those things you will reap. Nineveh fell. Nineveh was a mighty city. It was unconquerable walls in Nineveh, they said. But Nineveh fell, because Nineveh was proud and arrogant. God is able to bring down the mighty, and that's what Nebuchadnezzar needed. He needed humbling. Wait till I throw you out for 7 years and you eat dew, the dew fall on your back. Feathers and things. He started to grow feathers, and his fingernails started to grow. He had the nature of an animal. In other words, he lost his mind. A lot of us are not in our right minds today. Unless you know Jesus Christ, you're not in your right mind. You don't have reasoning and rationale and understanding. And I see this as a nation that we don't have reasoning and rationale and understanding as a people. That depression that had came upon Nebuchadnezzar. And you can tell depression. One of the things psychologists and psychiatrists ask you, and they can tell about depression, is how do you take care of yourself? Do you rise up in the morning and wash your face and brush your teeth and practice proper hygiene? Do you bathe and keep yourself in a proper state? Do you clean up? What do you think about the phone ringing? What do you think about things in life? Are you engaged in that? Or are you just unkept? You know, that's what homeless people and a lot of people, they're depressed because you can tell whether a man knows something about himself or whatever, because we have to realize who we are. You will start shaving. You will start keeping your hair. You will start watching the way you dress. You will watch all these things. You will watch what you say, the people you fool with, the influences you have. You will walk a different walk. People know whether you're changed or not, whether you're in your right mind, whether you're not thinking right. In Nebuchadnezzar, it said it will be a 7-year period. Now, a lot of people, I had a relative of mine, one of my dad's nieces or something, called the other day and was telling about one of the relatives that was dying and was on a deathbed, and she was in telling us, said, well, can you say Jesus? Do you know who Jesus is? And she said she was saying Jesus and this and that. And, you know, sometimes you have to be cordial, and I'm listening and not saying anything. But it's not going to help you on your deathbed. People have a respirator on you, and you tell them, can you say Jesus? She said that she started to cold, and, you know, that her heart started to palpate and everything, and she went into cardiac arrest or whatever. I'm saying to myself, because you that fooling with the woman on her dying bed trying to get her to say who Jesus is or whatever. If she didn't know in all that time, she won't know. She died right there. Well, because you was in there bothering her. First of all, you're not a preacher, and she wants to be a minister. And that's the thing about it. We have to know when to talk about the Lord. That wasn't the place and the time. If she on life support and you trying to tell her about Jesus, she was gone already. You see what I'm saying here? Some things are inevitable. And Daniel, that's why Daniel was looking like this, because when he was warning the king about this, it was inevitable. Daniel wasn't giving him hope. He was doing as all us preachers do. We preach the word of God to him and give him warning that you need to turn away from all these things. You need to turn away from all these things. Let me see, can I find that verse here? And he says, verse 22, listen at this. This is repentance, and you know we preach repentance here. This was something for Nebuchadnezzar to meditate upon during those 7 years, going through what he was going to go through. See, because Daniel said that this has a decree from God. When God makes a decree, when the watchers had seen this, you're going through this. It's no other way around it. A lot of people look at it as a whole year passed by before this judgment came upon Nebuchadnezzar. And they say, well, if he'd have repented, if he'd have changed and started doing that. No, as Daniel said, this was already decreed. Because God knew he wasn't going to change. God had decreed this. That's why it's in the Bible, because we need to look at this example, is that sometimes we're doing things and God's going to hold our noses down in the ground until we come to ourselves. It's going to be like that prodigal son. He had lost everything he had. He was about to eat with the swine, the pods at the swine. That's when he came to himself and said, I'll go home to. See, sometimes God has to take every penny you didn't have. Sometimes you have to be right at the end of life, and now I finally see what I've been doing wrong all my life. Sometimes you done lost it all before you realize you done lost it all, and that you need to turn around and go back home where you belong. You need to go back to God. You need to go back. You need restoration from God. You need to be restored. But there must be a repentance first. You have to have repentance. And that's what Ben Zephaniah, when we said, seek the Lord in repentance, turning from yourself. You have to turn. It's just not about covering this thing up as the church is preaching and teaching today. Verse 22 says, it is, O king, who have become great and grown strong. Your greatness has increased, and it reaches to heaven, and your dominion reaches to the ends of the earth. And that the king saw an angelic watcher, a holy one, descending from heaven and saying, cut the tree down and destroy it, but leave the stump with its roots in the earth, but with a band of iron and bronze around it, and the new grass of the field, let it be wet with dew from heaven, and let him feed with the beast of the field until 7 periods of time has passed over him. Now listen at this. Now this was decreed from God. But he says, leave the stump. In other words, if you leave the stump, I'm waiting for the spring. And spring now, I'm waiting and going out. And after all of the freezes has passed, after all of the harsh weather has come in and killed those plants out there and some of the hibiscus and other tropical plants, we're going to prune them back and cut. They're going to lose most of their foliage. But if we leave that root in the ground, it's like different bulb plants that die. I have some bulb plants that die each year. I don't know if they're irises or daffodils or whatever, right by the front of my porch. But each year that weather kills them back, but the spring, they germinate and grow again. They come back up again. If you leave the stump, that it gets water. We're referred to as a stump. David's referred to as a stump in some portions of the Bible, because Job refers to, if a tree is cut down, and will it live again? You see, God has to prune a lot of us back. There's a lot that we go lose in life, a lot of things that we go lose through age and in time and things, but you're able to get it back. God can restore the years that have been taken away. God majors in restoration. So we see here where there was hope for Nebuchadnezzar, that there was going to be hope for him, that this is going to be left. Daniel says, it is the decree of the Most High God which has come upon my Lord the King. He calls him his Lord. And there'll be lords many. Now, he's not using the word Lord with a capital L, as in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why I tell you he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but not the King. There's only one King of Kings, and that's Jesus Christ. There's only one Lord God, and that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says that you shall be driven from mankind, and your dwelling shall be with the place in the field, and that you be given grass to eat like the cattle and be wet with dew. And it was commanded to leave the stump in the roots. Therefore, King, let my advice to you be considered. This is my advice as a preacher, as a person of God. Consider these things. In other words, I always tell my children, son, you will have to turn to God, and you will go through a lot in life and everything. But remember, God is a good God, and he's able to keep that which is committed to him. I hate to see my children going through the things that they're going through. But you know they have to go through that. They're not going to listen. They like Nebuchadnezzar. They may be 40 or 50 before they realize it. But when they come to themselves, they'll realize, just like I realized a lot of the things, some of the things my parents told me. You know, because that's why I say some, because some of the things they told me was dead wrong, and that's why I'm messed up today. But a lot of it was good. So you have to take the good and leave the bad. You will remember the things that you will say, you know, my mama told me this. My daddy told me this. Somebody told me this. The other day I was out doing some weed eating, and some guy drove by there, and he didn't have to. He drove by, he had a mowing thing on the back of his truck. He jumped, I said, hey, man, how's it going? He said, you know, you better put them goggles and things out. Something pop up from that weed eater. And I said, you know, he was concerned for me, and I shouldn't be taking these chances, because that weed eater will kick something up in your eye and your face and thing and mess you up. I say, you know, now, we take people lightly, you know, and say, oh, he don't know what he's doing. I've been doing this for years. I know how to do this or whatever. But, you know, some say, well, it's a reason God told him to stop this. I wouldn't put my goggles on. That's why I said we have to start this. We have to listen to others. We have to listen at different things sometimes. You understand? We have to be alert. That's why I say when you come to consciousness, you'll see that people are trying to help you. A lot of times people are trying. God's sending people into your life, and it's all a decision. Should I listen or should I not listen? And you bring God into it, and he'll guide you and lead you into all truth. So that's why I say, if you don't hate people, you have to love people. You can't love God if you don't love people. You have to be able to conversationalize and make differences, make decisions. So he says, listen to my advice and be considered and found acceptable. Break away now from your sins and exhibit repentance by doing what is right. By doing what is right, and from your wickedness by showing mercy to the poor, so that if you repent, there may be a possibility for a continuous of prosperity and tranquility and healing of your error. Look, if you would repent. Now, during that 7 year period, he thought about these things Daniel told him. That's why I say a lot of things I'm preaching and teaching, you may not follow it down, but when you get in that tight, you will. You know, you will go, something told me, a preacher told me, or somebody told me this. And he says, maybe it will be restored to you. And I read that maybe in there, just like we read it in the book of Zephaniah. He says, perhaps the Lord will turn. Perhaps, maybe. See, because I don't like these preachers and people that tell you the Lord will do. You don't know what God will do. That might not be for him. That might not happen. Now, we know that all things are possible with God. That's why Daniel said, God can do this. You have to have hope and faith, but God is doing everything for a purpose. And you have to say, that be the Lord's will. And we understand and know what his will is. And we pray according to his will. And so when he was going through this, he could remember these things. But it was to require repentance. And see, this is not a repentance nation. They signed the budget the other day. I think it was $1.3 trillion or something. And the people were saying, you know, these are the same governmental people that was against government, against big spending and all this. You know, I have no confidence in this government. I have no confidence in this nation. My confidence is in God. And that's what Daniel was trying to tell Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar finally found out. Once you can put your allegiances to God and see that there's no hope. There's no hope in this world. There's no other hope. If there's hope, then Jesus was wrong. He says, this world is passing away. You look for a new heaven and a new earth. And that's why all your hope should be in Jesus. That's where it should be. And that same hour, in other words, a short period of time. In other words, after a year's time. You know, life continues on. Y'all will continue on when you leave out of here. So a lot of this we're telling you may not occur now. It may be much down the road. It may be a year or two long. But life goes on, but it's going to happen. And it happened to Nebuchadnezzar. It happened to him. And he was there that 7 years without reasoning and rationale. After that time, which he did not or could not repent of himself, God had that resulting judgment fall. But let's look at the conclusion here. And let's look at the restoration. You remember I told you this was about restoration. This is about his testimony about this arrogant king. The reason he was brought down is that he went out on his palace walls during that time. Daniel had told him to stop living the way he was living and doing what he was doing. He went out on his palace walls and he says, is not this the great Babylon that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, has built? He took the credit where is. He didn't give God the credit. At that same time, that's when his reasoning and rationale lost him. It left him. All reasoning and rationale. Because of his pride, his exaltation of self. Yes. But then after that 7 years, that's why I say it was decreed that was going to happen. After God brought that judgment, after what y'all have been going through in life, if you would come to yourself, you can't work faster than God. And we got a series coming up on timing. But if when you come to yourself, God's already has a way made. All the money, all the time. I said, man, if I hadn't spent it, I'm trying to think of ways that was them trying to call there. That the part I ordered for the more that I don't need, not using, has come in. That's $60 or $70. Has come in. And I'm thinking, before I spent that money, why? But see, we aren't to question God. God does everything in his time, not our time. In his time. And so after this had happened, the timing, he restored Nebuchadnezzar. We're talking about the restoration here. Verse 34. After this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven. My sanity returned, and I praised and worshiped the Most High, and honor the one who lives forever. Now he's been turned right. Now God didn't put some act right on him. Over these 7 years running around here eating grass and running around without a mind, now he didn't come to himself. He says, I stole the God of heaven. Listen to this testimony now. It's all about this testimony. God had restored him because he had learned this lesson. And that's what I told y'all. The reason a lot of us not catching grip in life is that God is standing up there and he got his elbow in your back. He got his knee on top and he's up on top of you. And he's saying, say uncle. And until you say uncle, until you give up, until you say uncle, that God is almighty. He's sovereign. He's not going to let you go. You remember Jacob wrestled with the angel and the angel threw his leg out of joint. You can't beat God. You can't. You just want to stop resisting and give up and turn it over to him. Give up. He says his rule is everlasting and his kingdom is eternal. All the people of the earth are nothing. All the people. You remember I told you, you ain't insignificant. He says, I'm insignificant. I'm nothing. Can you imagine God's power, his authority? People try to think that God's in some cosmic battle with Satan or the devil or whatever. He created Satan. How is he wrestling with Satan? You're wrestling with Satan. Jesus said he's seen Satan fall like lightning. You can't think about the power God has. His power is infinite. God can't feel you wrestling against him. That's why Jesus came, because as a man, he felt what we didn't felt. He didn't been through this, but God has all power. So you as the billions of people, can you imagine how big this universe is? And it says that the universe is just a blimp, that he knows all the stars by name, that he knows all the sand, the gravels. Listen about the sparrows. He says that you are more precious to him than a sparrow, and he feeds the sparrows, right? Have you seen how many sparrows? You hadn't seen them all, huh? But if he knows all the sparrows, he knows the hairs on your head. Brother Jackson, can you realize the hairs on your head, a number that God knows them? Now think of how many people in the world and think that God knows the hairs on each person's head. We're talking about, we're very insignificant when we talk against God, right? We're nothing as compared to God. He says, he does as he pleases among the angels of heaven and among the people on earth. No one can stop him or to say to him, what do you mean by doing these things? When my sanity returned to me, so did my honor and my glory. When he came to himself, God gave him honor and glory. Hadn't Daniel preached that to him? That if he would turn, if he would turn back around, God would restore his sanity to him. He would restore his honor and his glory to him. He said, my advisors and my nobles sought me out, and I would restore it as head of my kingdom with even greater honor. You remember I told you, God's able to give back to you the years that the kangaroo worm had destroyed? See, that year, that time of jubilee, that Satan's going to have to give back everything that he took from you. If he took your health, he's going to have to give your health back. If he took your sanity, you're going to have to give your sanity back. Whatever he took, God gave Job double for what he had, didn't he? Yeah. Satan came in and he took his children. Didn't he give him 7 more children? That meant 14 children now. Didn't he give him double his cattle, double everything he had? So he must have had more wives to give him those 7 children. He got rid of that one wife he had. But God says that he does all. Nebuchadnezzar said God did all that. He was restored in greater honor than before. He says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and glorify. Why are we here? To praise and glorify and honor the King of heaven. All his acts are just and true, and he's able to humble the proud. Are you going around glorifying God? Are you going around giving God the honor? Don't be like Nebuchadnezzar. We realize that God is omnipotent, that God is afflicting us for reasons and purposes, and there are reasons why we go through what we go through. But as Daniel said, you don't have to go through those things if you would repent in turn, but it was decreed Nebuchadnezzar go through those things because God had to turn. But we can turn. We can hear God's voice. We can hear God's word. We can walk in his way this morning. We need to leave out here glorifying God. In everything we do, we need to extol God and crucify self. We need to mortify the deeds of the body, where we would not obey sin and the lust thereof. God needs to be on the throne. God needs to be on the throne of our lives. Let us humble ourselves. God says, for if my people, which are called by my name, he didn't say I would humble them. He said, if they would humble myself and pray and turn from their wicked ways, he says, then will I hear. Then will I hear from heaven. He's able to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing to you that you can't contain. He's able to restore what we talked about Wednesday night, the lame feet that's turned out. He's able to give you strength that you can run. He's able to give you that health back to where you can live years and years. I was telling you about the people that they're in the 80s and 90s and things that stay right there around me. God's speaking to us there. God's talking to us that he is able. He is able to do these things. Do we have hope and confidence and trust in him? We need to look and honor God. Help us, Lord God. Lord God, thank you for our reasoning, Lord God. Thank us for you giving us the ability to understand you, Lord God. And that help us to glorify you, to give you the honor and praise that you're worthy of, Lord God. Help us to look unto you and be strengthened by your word, Lord God. And to glorify you in all that we say and do, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.